Just recently, we heard one of our politicians threaten us if he was indicted or called to answer for his misdeeds. There would be such a time in the U.S., a time of trouble that nobody would have dreamed of. Fear, fear-mongering. And there are lots of people who do such fear-mongering. And we were sad to have that kind of an experience. Well, here we are. Now I can move. You see that awful picture there. Somebody asked the newspaper Guardian to show the kind of political age that we are living in. Picturize this, the mood for us in our nation. And that's what the Guardian printed. They say a picture says 1,000 words. And he chose to portray the political age of our country by this picture, an East European artist called Edvard Munch. Fear. Fear can do a lot of things. Here we have some of the physiological effects of fear. The immune system dysfunction, endocrine system dysfunction, autonomic nervous system alteration, sleep and wake cycle disruptions, eating disorders, alteration in the hypothalamus and the pituitary and adrenal axis. Now, these are some of the physical things. And of course, in the Bible, we have a lot of things that describes what fear can do to us. Here there are two types of fears. One fear that people have when their God is impersonal. They don't believe in God. They don't care for such a supernatural agency that can be of blessing to us. And the other, when God is personal. Coming to the first, when God is impersonal, this is characterized by hiding. We saw that experience in the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve, after they had eaten of that fruit which God asked them not to, they hid from his presence. Fear of judgment impaired bad feelings of what? Terror, dread, trembling, and even astonishment. But when we have a personal God and the fear that we render to God, which is characterized by fellowship, joy, and peace, we have a healthy, good feeling of the presence of God, then we look at God in all awe, reverence, devotion, trust, and worship. That is the kind of fear we are going to talk about today. So what does the Bible say about this kind of fear? Fearing God has a purifying effect on us. It drives us to hate sin and avoid evil. It makes us be careful in what we speak. You see the length we are, because God will call to account every word that we utter. Yes, remember that Jesus in the book of John is metaphorized as the Word, isn't it? And the Word was with God. The seriousness of what we speak. This fear of God protects us from self-righteous behavior and spiritually cleanses us, sanctifies us, and restores us. Therefore, fearing God will help us possess His promise. Now, what an energizing kind of fear. Let us look at this verse in another translation. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 111 and verse 10. Verse 10 is the summary of the whole chapter, which behooves us to show fear and reverence for God. You know, in the King James Version, there are more than 400 references to the word fear. Some of them negative fear that we talked of, and a lot of them of the positive fear. And then, this verse is actually not for the first time reported in Psalms. The fear of the Lord is the what? Beginning of wisdom. Who said this? Solomon? All right. Actually, Solomon quotes from the book of Job. So, Job, they believe, was the first book that was written, and usually they accredit the book to Moses. So Moses learned earlier on in life that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, when you unpackage this verse, I have this from the Amplified Version of the Bible, and I read, the fear, meaning reverent fear of the Lord, is the what? Prerequisite, the absolute essential, the alphabet of wisdom. You see, somebody has said what? The foolish man thinks that there is no God. So, if this awe and reverence for God and His creatures and the responsibility that entails because we worship that God, then we are assured of wisdom. And what is wisdom? A good understanding, a teachable heart, and are possessed by all those who do the will of the Lord. And when that happens, His praise endureth forever. You see, what a package. What a promise. What a gift that we possess. Look at this picture here. Adam and Eve being driven out from the Garden of Eden. When they stopped to listen to the conversation of the evil one, they were bereft of the fear of God. When we are in the presence of the Almighty, and when we experience His presence on a moment-by-moment basis, we are endowed with the kind of wisdom that only God can supply. And if Adam and Eve, at that juncture in their lives, would have had that kind of wisdom, today we won't be sitting within these four walls, would we? We would have been in heaven. So each time we fall a prey to the temptation and the allurement of the evil one, we are actually bereft of the fear of the Lord, which entails wisdom and understanding. Because the verse plainly said, when we don't fear God, when we don't have that reverential fear, the awe, then we lack the kind of wisdom that leads us to make God-informed choices in our lives. Now that's a serious matter, isn't it? That's why we need the presence of God moment by moment in us. So, what are we going to talk about? What does it mean to fear God? What does the proper fear of God do for us? Why is it important to fear God? There would be some overlaps in these ideas. Why is it important to fear God? What are the eternal? I want to emphasize the word eternal. Because with God, everything is what? Eternal. Yes. Whatever is not eternal, mark my words, is eternally outdated. Whatever is not eternal is eternally outdated. So the eternal benefits of the fear of the Lord, and then some applicatory activities of examples of fear of God from the books of the Bible. All right? Let's move on. It is a blessed thought to note. It's a blessed thought to note that the fear of the Lord, as enshrined in the Word of God, has a variety of concepts and shades of meaning. When I had this Bible program and I put a search on the word fear of the Lord, the phrase, I came up with a lot of reference. And I've just chosen a few for us to understand this concept of fear of the Lord. Proverbs 8:13. The fear of the Lord, what does it mean? The fear of the Lord is, when you're defining something with the word is, we are actually making a metaphor of it. For example, the Lord is what? The Lord is good. The Lord is my shepherd. So Jesus is a metaphor. The shepherd is a metaphor for Jesus. So here we have a metaphor. The fear of the Lord is what? Hating evil. Not only evil, hating pride and arrogancy. And the evil way and the forward mouth. Remember, in the introduction, we saw what we speak also is overruled by the fear of God. Do I hate? Says the Almighty. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth. Next, Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord, here is a promise. What's the promise? Long life. The fear of the Lord is long life. What is a long life here? It's eternal life. Can anything be longer? No, sir. There's a lovely song which says what? And forever is a long, long time. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Psalms 19:9. The fear of the Lord is a metaphor now. Is what? Clean. That's why they say what? Cleanliness is next to godliness. There's a lovely verse in Psalms who says, who shall ascend to the Most High? They that have what? Clean hands. So godliness is equated with cleanliness. And it is a type of cleanliness that we don't need to sanitize moment by moment. Because this cleanliness endures for what? Ever. Endures forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous. Once again, referring to wisdom and understanding. Proverbs 14:26. In the fear of the Lord is what? strong confidence. Now, if you are wavering, if you are unsure of yourself, if you are not sure what path to take, if you are not sure what decisions to make, incur the fear of the Lord. Beg Him. And the Bible says what? If you are sincere in your search, the Lord will speak to you and say what? This is the way. Walk ye in it. What a blessed thought. The fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a what? Place of refuge. A place of refuge. Safety and security. We can have full confidence when we have that type of fear and reverence for God. Here's a nice one. And it's a repetition of thought. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, cultivates life, and he that hath it shall abide, how? Satisfied. He shall not be visited by evil. Look at these promises. They are so positive, so assertive. They are gold-edged promises that we have. And here's a nice one. Proverbs 22:4. By humility. It looks like the fear of God and humility are two sides of the same coin. All right? The fear of the Lord by humility are what? Riches. Who doesn't want this type of riches? Not only riches, honor and life. All right? You are going to be upheld in the highest esteem when you are proclaimed, when each one of us are proclaimed as the what? Children of God. Here we have a nice picture. What does it mean to fear God? And once again, we are using the word fear as a reverence and awe for the Almighty. When the Bible refers to the fear of the Lord, it means having a deep respect, reverence, and authority, rather than causing someone to be afraid. A proper fear of the Lord leads one to love Him. All right? The kind of awe that we have for our parents and grandparents that instills in us that love, that longing to spend time and fellowship with them. That is the kind of fear that we are talking about. Look at Moses here. When he saw that bush that was burning, it wasn't really burning, it wasn't being consumed. You know, if you should go to Mount Sinai in Egypt, there are many other line of thought. Some people think that Mount Sinai is in Arabia, right? Not necessarily in this desert between Egypt and Israel. There is a monastery called Catherine Monastery. And in that monastery, there's this big cathedral-like church. And part of the church is cordoned off with a wall. And above the wall, you see a plant growing. And they say, this is the burning bush of Moses. All right? As we know, bushes are kind of perennials. They last for a year or two, not necessarily for centuries. Anyway, but when Moses saw that, and he tried to approach it, God said, take off your shoes. Meaning what? Reverence this whole experience. I, the maker of the universe, is standing here to communicate with you. And God gives him that message. Why is it so important to fear God? If you study the Bible, there is no mistaking the repeated commands to fear God. Wise King Solomon put it this way in explaining his reason for writing the book of Hebrews. He says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does this mean? A healthy fear of God includes the fear of consequences and disobedience. But this is not the only fear that we have. Sometimes we fear that if we don't do good, if we don't do what is right, then God is going to punish us. God doesn't punish us. The things that happen to us is a consequence of our wrongdoing. Isn't it? Yes. So when we are suffering consequences, then we can't say. If I stand in the middle of the traffic, say God is going to protect me, that is presumption. That's not what? Faith. You are going to be hit. You are going to be hit. All right? That's the consequence of your action. So, a healthy fear includes the fear for consequences of disobedience. You know, when such a consequence happens, we suffer. And the time that is spent in recovering and suffering is robbed from the time that we can minister for God's and His purpose. Now that is something sad. We put ourselves in harm's way, and when we suffer the consequence, sometimes we not only blame God, but we are robbing somebody of an eternal experience where God can use us as His instrument to instruct others. Being in harmony with the spiritual laws that govern the universe has astounding benefits. And this is what Hebrews chapter 10, and if you read verses 26 to 31, tells us. So, fearing God is being in harmony with His spiritual laws and also the natural laws. Fearing God is a reverence for God that helps us to take Him and His beneficial laws seriously. And this is found in 1 Timothy 4:8 and Psalms 16:11. Wonderful verses. Take note of this and read it, and it'll be a blessing for each one of us. Fear of the Lord also entails forgiveness. Forgiveness. Sadly, however, everyone sins and earns the death penalty. If everyone is just going to die forever, what would be the purpose of fearing God? You see the logic here? If all of us are going to die anyway, the second death, do we need to fear God? No, sir. But the fact is that fearing God will enable us to escape the second death. And their fear of the Lord. So if everyone is just going to die forever, what would be the purpose of fear? Sure, we might be depressed and terrified. But is that what God really wants? No, sir. Consider this fascinating passage in Psalms verses 3 and 4. If you, Lord, should mark iniquity, are going to stand there and point your fingers and accuse us of being wrongdoers, who can stand? But in fact, what are you doing, God? And Revelation puts it nice way. Behold, I stand at the door and what? Knock. How does God enter this church? Tell me. How does God enter this church? God enters this church through everyone's heart. Now that is an eternal truth. If God is not in our hearts, in our lives, that's what it means. And when we don't experience His presence, on a daily, moment by moment, we don't bring that God's presence where? In this church. God doesn't want to be present in an empty church. All right? God loves us so much. And that's why He wants to fellowship and commune with us. And we bring that presence of God when we yield to the knocking of God and open the door and let Him in. Yes, it gives us a reason to be eternally grateful and to grow in love, to be more like our loving God. So consider this verse. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, take account of all our misdeeds. Oh Lord, can we ever stand in your presence? Never. But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be what? Feared. Because God forgives. Therefore, we reverence Him. Therefore, we look to Him in awe. What a promise. How does love cast out fear? Because we have this endearing verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Mark it in your Bible. It says what? Love has been perfected among us. How? In this. That we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. All right? On the day of judgment, we are not going to stand in the presence of God biting our fingernails. It's not a nervous time for us. When we stand in the presence of God, we also know that our salvation has become a what? Accomplished fact in our lives. We are judged. And God is waiting there to pronounce that wonderful word. You have been faithful in little things. Therefore what? Enter thou into the what? Joy of the Lord. Yes, that's why this verse says, we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as He is, so we are in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves what? Torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. In this word, the word fear has double meaning here. One is that godly fear, and the other is the earthly fear that causes dread and terror. The same shade of meaning is applied to the word fear in Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Another wonderful verse. It says what? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage. All right? We have that lovely verse which says, the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God. This is the biggest but in the Bible. But the wages of sin is death. But the what? Gift of God is eternal life. And therefore it says what? For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Father, Abba. You see that? That is the connection between us and God. The reverence and awe that we what? Give Him. And therefore, He is our Father. Here there's another lovely verse. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, mark it. It says what? For God has not given us what? A spirit of fear. This is the earthly fear. But in its place of power, of love, and of what? Sound mind. That is good judgment, good understanding. You see how the Bible explains itself. We take this concept and we look at where all it appears in the Bible that we can get a better understanding. This is what Mrs. White means when she says, line upon line and precept upon precept. The Bible explains itself. A wonderful example. So what are the eternal benefits of fear? All right? Do not let your heart, okay? Do not let your heart envy sinners. But be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely those who reverence and fear God have a hereafter. We have a life past the first death that we are subjected to. And your hope will not be cut off. What a positive and assertive saying. Your hope will not be cut off. Proverbs 23:17-18. And here there's a lovely one, another metaphor. The fear of the Lord is what? Fountain of life. When we think of fountain, it embodies purity. It embodies something that is pristine, something that is pure, something that is whole, something that is energizing. A fountain of life. A fountain is actually a bundle of energy, isn't it? It just bursts forth as if you can't bottle it, isn't it? You can't bottle it. It springs forth with a kind of divine energy. Yes, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life and to turn away from the snares of death. When there is so much energizing life in the fear of the Lord that we turn away from the snares of death. Here's another promise. Proverbs 19:23. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited by evil. Now we come to the last part of this conversation. Tell me, from these various Bible characters that you see listed here, we could list more. How is the fear of the Lord envisaged in their lives, exemplified in their lives? All right? What about Abraham? How did he show that he feared God? Speak, please. I'm a teacher, I'm not a pastor. Come again? Yes. You know, in the... Yes, please. Blessedness indeed. And coming to your thought, you know, on the north of Syria, there is a place, they call it as Aleppo. That's the present name, Aleppo. But the old name for Aleppo was Halab. Halab in the Arabic tongue in those parts means milk. Now, why would they call a place milk? The simple reason being, when Abraham began his journey from the Urs of the Chaldees and he came by northern Syria and Turkey, he came to this village which was experiencing famine. And he parked there for a few days and fed the community with milk and meat from the animals that he had. So much so, that place was known as Halab. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord caused him to do that. Share his goodness. And like our sister said, sacrificing your child, is that possible? Would God want such a sacrifice? It was a heathenic practice in his days. You know, Bible scholars tell us that when Sarai heard after Abraham and Isaac came home from that experience, she just couldn't wrap this idea around her head. And she was so depressed that she never overcame that depression, which eventually took her life. Right? Therefore, Abraham married Keturah, the Bible tells us, and had many sons and daughters. Yes, what about Moses? How did he exhibit the fear of the Lord? Okay. All them worldly, isn't it? God so loved that world of wickedness that he gave his only begotten son. Ruth. How did Ruth exhibit the fear of the Lord? Those immortal words. Yeah. Thy people shall be my people. Your God, my God. The fear of the Lord causes us to behave in these terms. What about Hannah? Hannah? Yes. It was the hope of every Jewish woman to have a boy child, because that was the promise of a what? Through the fear of the Lord. Esther, your people shall be what? No, she said, if I perish, I perish. Remember what Mordecai told her. Maybe you are appointed for a time as this. If you don't work for the deliverance of your people. No, Mrs. White says that it was the satanic plan of the devil to stop the Redeemer from that group of people being born later on. Yes, it didn't work. And there she goes and presents herself to the king. Joseph, how can I commit this great wickedness against God? Paul, a man who was so obsessed that these people were following a criminal who was crucified. You know, he just hated that thought because he thought his God was so pure and this wouldn't happen. But it is so wonderful when we read that verse, for I am not what? Ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He did that persecution because he was ashamed that his Jewish people would follow such a criminalized God. No, sir. And then he uses that wonderful text, the love of Christ, what? Constrains us. It causes us to do good. And that's what the fear of the Lord does. It constrains us. Believers in this church, what does the fear of the Lord in each one of us will make us do? I want you to ponder on this. This is not a one-time experience in life. We are to experience the presence of God on a minute-by-minute basis. The devil is so cunning that he can cause us to fall like this. Yes, let's move on. Here's a wonderful verse. Sometimes we wonder why the church is not growing. And here is the foundation for church growth. Mark this verse in your Bible. Acts 9:31. Let's read it together. You can read it off the screen. One. So, you see that? Why did the church increase? What was the foundation of this church growth? The fear of the Lord. Reverencing God, meaning reverencing His mission for us. And what is His mission? That none should perish. Matthew 1:21. For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. This is the godly mandate that we as a church have to deliver. And all this is done in the fear of the Lord. There is yet another promise that I want you to understand. A blessed promise. Malachi 3:16. Mark this verse. It's one of the most blessed verses in the Bible. Then those who feared the Lord do what? What is the meaning of speaking to one another? Testimonies, encouragement. You're in good terms with each other. Spoke to one another. And when you do that, what does God do? The Lord listened and heard them. We have some unspoken requests sometimes. Because of being politically correct, we don't want to say certain things. God hears that. God hears that. And then, so a book of remembrance was written before him. When we fear the Lord, our names are written where? In that book of remembrance. You see the seriousness here, my friends. The seriousness. When we don't experience the fear of the Lord, moment by moment, when we don't ask him to grant us that gift, it could be that our names are not in the book of remembrance. For those who feared the Lord and meditated on his name, their books, their names are written in that book. What a blessed experience. Just one more thought before we go. The fear of the Lord. This is the man who wrote that lovely song for us. My faith looks up to thee. His name is Faber. He was a Calvinist. And this is how he describes the fear of the Lord. It's a poem. My fear of thee, O Lord, exalts like life within my veins. A fear which tightly claims to be one of love's sacred pains. There is no joy the soul can meet upon life's various roads, like the sweet fear that sits and shrinks under the eyes of God. O thou art greatly to be feared, thou art so prompt to bless. The dread to miss such love as thine makes fear but love's excess. What a blessed thought. But excuse me. But fear is love, and love is fear. And in and out they move. But fear is an intenser of joy than mere unfrightened love. They love thee little, if at all, who do not fear thee much. I read that again. They love thee little, if at all, who do not fear thee much. If love is thine attraction, Lord, fear is thy very touch. May we all experience the joy of fearing the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. Praise God.